Today is a WRL weather alert day. We have a level 1 and 2 risk for severe storms coming up. We'll go through Futurecast and show you the timeline for those storms.
Plus, most abortions could be banned in North Carolina after 12 weeks. As early as today, that could come through. What Republicans will need to turn a controversial bill into law at the General Assembly? Where you're looking live right now.
And prepare to pay more for your child's school lunch. The price hike that could get the green light today in Wake County Public Schools. We have that story and much more to get you started on your Tuesday morning. Weather alert day for us here at WREL. Thanks for joining us. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Yeah, thanks for making us part of your Tuesday here. It's sort of a red light weather day, you know, as we look at some of the awareness levels we need to have today on this weather alert day. Elizabeth Gardner on the WRL Severe Weather Center with exactly where that falls.
Now, a lot of folks have the potential to see some damaging winds, some damaging straight line winds, which could knock down some trees. Isolated tornadoes are more likely in the level 2 area, and we could see some large hail as well. Right now, we're looking at some scattered showers. We've seen some light patchy rain in the northern part of Wake County, moving over into Nash and Wilson County, up around Roanoke Rapids. But the more widespread band is down here in Moore County, Carthage, down towards Southern Pines, a little light rain in Sanford right now. So we'll continue to see these pop-up showers. They're very light and not likely to cause any real problems, but that will continue on and off through around lunchtime. Once we get past lunchtime with a few holes in the clouds, we'll start to see the line of thunderstorms developing along with our cold front. So there's 5 o'clock, and that's mainly in the north at that point. By 7 o'clock, we're starting to see the line move into our western counties. By 9 o'clock, that line is around Goldsboro and Clinton and continues to slip on out of here between 10 and 11. Could be an isolated storm after that, but the severe weather threat should be over by around 10 or 11. After that, we clear out nicely for Wednesday. Wednesday's looking like a pretty day for us. We'll take a live look here at Southern Pines, and definitely raining right now. It's not, doesn't seem to be bothering anybody. I can see the raindrops here on the camera, but a lot of folks are just standing around without raincoats or umbrellas. It doesn't ever rain on the golf course. That's what Jeff Hogan says. 66 degrees is our current temperature. Southwest wind at around 11 miles per hour. That southwesterly wind warms us up fast today. We'll climb into the mid-80s this afternoon. It'll be very sticky and humid feeling. And of course, we'll end the day with those strong thunderstorms that'll last until around midnight. Another round of storms potentially over the weekend. I'll show you the timeline for that coming up.
802 right now. We're watching some delays on 885 in Durham. We're seeing some backups on the southbound side of 885 coming in from 147 back down toward TW Alexander, and some northbound delays this morning. That's that live camera out at Cornwallis Road, and it's about a 6-minute slowdown overall as you head away from I-40 up toward 147 and 85. Pretty typical for this time of day. Just a heads up as you head through that area. On the north side of Raleigh, we have a road hazard reported at Falls of Neuse Road at Strickland Road. Not sure exactly what that entails. We're trying to get some more details about it, but we're certainly seeing some heavy southbound delays this morning on Falls of Neuse Road coming in from the Raven Ridge Road area through Durant Road down toward 540. Expect some heavy backups through that section of Falls this morning on the southbound side. Also, some backups on the westbound side or outbound side of Glenwood Avenue beginning around Lynn Road heading out toward Country Trail. Report of a crash with injuries there at that intersection. Over in Chapel Hill on 40 westbound, we have a crash between Irwin Road and Highway 86, and we're seeing some pretty heavy delays from 15501 out toward Irwin Road. If it makes sense for your commute and you're trying to get up to Hillsborough, consider using 86 to get to 40 westbound this morning, maybe save you a little bit of time. On the south side of Durham, 55 right around the I-40 interchange, a report of a crash there. Pretty heavy southbound delay starting to build on 55 heading through that interchange. On the south side of Wake County, between Fuquay and Garner, a crash on 1010 Road between 401 and Lake Wheeler Road. Seeing some pretty heavy backups through that area. An earlier crash on Litchford Road around 540 in the clearing stages. And finally, over on the northeastern side of Wake County, a crash at Highway 96 around Martin Road appears to be largely cleared now in the Rollsville area.
Thanks, Brian. A vote today could shape the future of abortion rights in North Carolina for years to come. State lawmakers will decide whether to override a veto from Governor Roy Cooper, allowing new restrictions to take effect. WRL's Laura Levine joins us live from the legislative building. Laura, this has happened so quickly.
Very quickly, Jeff. It was just 3 days ago when many people came out to rally as Governor Cooper officially vetoed the latest abortion bill. Now today, we know lawmakers will vote to override that veto. Republican leaders in the legislature believe they have enough votes to override Governor Cooper's veto of the 12-week abortion ban. Republicans maintain a narrow veto-proof majority in both chambers of the General Assembly. If one Republican in either chamber votes to support the vote, Senate Bill 20 will failed to become law. Not only would the bill reduce the cutoff for many abortions from 20 weeks to 12, it would add other restrictions to women seeking abortions and clinics seeking to provide them. Now, Cooper spent the last week traveling across the state meeting with doctors and clinic operators in effort to sway Republicans to vote against the bill. The Senate is scheduled to vote first on the override today, and if that motion passes that chamber, then the House will vote soon after. Now we know that many Democrats, the Democratic Party, plans to pack the galleries today at 3:30 ahead of that vote at 4 p.m. Laura Levine, WRAL News, live in Raleigh.
The owner of Taz's convenience store in downtown Raleigh is now indicted on a charge of second-degree murder, and the victim's parents are talking only on WREL. Tysir Zarka is accused of stabbing 27-year-old Mark Garrity to death. Witnesses say Zarka attacked Garrity after accusing him of stealing from his store. But Garrity's parents say their son did not deserve to die. Zarka faces a maximum sentence of life in prison. Garrity's parents say that's the outcome they want.
We're just praying that justice in the end, justice will be served and he will get the maximum sentence that he deserves.
You know, we wake up every day and it's hard to imagine that this has still happened.
The Garrity say they're working on a foundation in their son's name.
Parents, you want to be sure that you might send your kid to school with a little more lunch money next year. Wake County's Board of Education is voting today on a price hike across all grade levels. Be a 25-cent increase, making lunch $3.25 in elementary schools, $3.50 in middle and high schools. This would be the second straight year the board has raised prices. Last year, the hike was blamed on the rising cost of food and supplies and employee wages. WRL has learned Orange and Chatham County schools are also considering raising meal prices for students.
The Stanley Cup playoffs are down to the final four. We now know when the Carolina Hurricanes will play their first game of the Eastern Conference Final. The Hurricanes will host the Florida Panthers on Thursday night at 8 o'clock in game one of the series. This is video from a game between the teams earlier this season at PNC. The Canes beat the Panthers in two of the three games they played this season. Canes players say they're expecting a close fight throughout the series.
You know, it's a conference final, so, I mean, it's going to be two great teams playing tight game. It's going to be good hockey, and, you know, I think it's going to be a battle out there, and it's going to be whoever comes ready to play each night and plays a full six, he's going to get the win.
And the winner of the series will advance to the Stanley Cup final to play the winner of the Western Conference Series between Vegas and Dallas.
Today, funding for students will likely be the focus as leaders with Durham Public Schools meet with Durham County Commissioners. The two groups are holding a joint meeting at 9 o'clock this morning, just hours before county commissioners meet to discuss the budget for the upcoming year. WRL has learned resources for mental health will also be one of the topics considered at the meeting. It will all be streamed on Facebook.
And today, the way Raleigh's election works and how much leaders get paid are up for discussion. A study group appointed by City Council recommends council members should serve four-year terms instead of the two-year terms they now serve. It also suggests the council should add another district seat, increasing its size to 10 members. And it says the mayor and council members should be paid more as well. It cites the city's growth and development. City Council will talk about the study's findings in a work session this morning.
8:09 the time right now. If you're frustrated with being asked to tip, even at self-checkout machines, you are not alone. Just ahead, some advice for navigating the issue of tipflation.
Plus, a child charged with murder after an employee at Sonic is shot and killed. What investigators say led up to that violence? And it is a WRL weather alert day. We have a level 1 and 2 risk for severe storms. Those storms will develop late afternoon into the evening, and I'll show you the timeline for when they come through your area coming up.
Twelve minutes after 8 on our Tuesday morning. This is a live look at the Bull City, the DBAP. Durham Bulls Athletic Park is going to get some action tonight. They start a homestand there, and they're going to keep that tarp on just as long as they need to keep the field dry. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now with our WRL Weather Alert Day and what's ahead.
We have the potential for damaging wind gusts all across the viewing area. Those would be straight line winds, which could knock down trees. And then isolated tornadoes in our level 2 risk, which is going to be from the Triangle area northward and westward. And anybody could see some large hail. That's not likely to be the biggest threat that we see, though. Mostly cloudy skies. We have a few scattered showers out there this morning. Those will stop around lunchtime, and we'll get a little bit of a break. And severe thunderstorms will begin after around 4 o'clock. It may be 6 or 7 before they move through the Triangle, and 8 or 9 before they move through our eastern counties. And then we should start to see the severe threat subsiding by around 10 or 11. We could still see a few isolated storms up through midnight or so. This is a look at our cold front. It's not doing a whole lot just yet, which is great news. We do have some thunderstorms north of the low itself, but we're not seeing a big line of storms out ahead of this just yet. We check out Futurecast for the next little while, and we're looking at the potential for an isolated shower or two. Again, closer to lunchtime, we may see a few breaks in the clouds, and around, say, 3 or 4 o'clock. Oh, this is the brand new run of the computer model that has just come in. So again, between 3 and 5 o'clock, some scattered showers and thunderstorms. We may see another round of that. This is a look at the strong line. This is where we could have the better chance for thunderstorms. And you can see that is much slower on this run of the computer model, as we're looking at that between, say, 9 and midnight. So that may alter your plans a little bit. Again, brand new run of the computer model that shows the line of thunderstorms that has the best chance of producing severe weather to be, say, between 9 and midnight. After that, we're looking at a nice day tomorrow. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday look beautiful. So again, WRL weather alert day level 1 and 2 risk for severe storms. We have the potential for an isolated tornado. Level 1 risk means that we would just see a few isolated storms. One or two of those could produce some wind damage. A level 2 risk means that we would have a better chance of maybe a few more storms that could produce wind damage. They'd be more likely, and we may see one or two of those that could produce a tornado. How much rain today? It's going to depend on, you know, whether you're under more than one cell that comes through, anywhere from a quarter of an inch to a half an inch, but there may be some spots with a little heavier rain, depending on, again, how many cells move across your area. Let's jump ahead to Saturday. This version of Futurecast keeps Saturday dry. It brings in a cold front Saturday night and into early Sunday. There's Sunday at 7 a.m. It moves on by lunchtime or so. But another run of the computer models has the rain moving in late Saturday, and it's out by Sunday morning. So we're going to continue to tweak that. But just the best thing to know right now is we're tracking a front for the weekend, and it's likely to be sometime late Saturday through early Sunday. Brian?
All right, 8:15 right now, and I want to get you an update on all of these backups that we're following. First of all, still have that crash reported at Edwards Mill Road at Wade Avenue. Seeing some backups on Edwards Mill approaching Wade, and then unrelated delays on Wade Avenue heading away from 440 out to the I-40 merge. Looks like we have two crashes now on outbound Glenwood Avenue, one right around Lynn Road and then another at Country Trail. Adding it together, some pretty big backups on the outbound side of Glenwood Avenue, beginning just beyond Durley Road, heading out toward Country Trail, so allow some extra time through there. Still seeing some heavy delays on southbound Falls of Neuse Road, heading out of Wake Forest through North Raleigh. Delays began around Raven Ridge and extend all the way down to Strickland Road. There are reports in the past few minutes of a crash there at that intersection of Falls at Strickland. You are seeing some heavy backups as you head away from Wake Forest into North Raleigh. Still have the crash reported in the north part of Fuquay, between Fuquay and Garner, on 1010 Road between Lake Wheeler and 401. Still seeing some backups through that area, but it looks like traffic has cleared up okay on 401 and Lake Wheeler itself. And on the east side of Raleigh, watch for a crash on New Hope Road at Corporation Parkway. The past couple of minutes, we got that crash cleared from 40 westbound around Irwin Road in Chapel Hill, but now reports of a crash on 40 westbound just before you get to 15501 heading away from 751 in Durham.
New on Fox 50 this morning, a 12 years old, charged with murder in the shooting death of a Sonic employee. This happened in Texas, south of Fort Worth, Texas. Police say the Sonic employee confronted a man for peeing in the restaurant's parking lot. Then the two started fighting, and that's when officers say the 12-year-old who was in the back seat of the man's car shot the employee several times. Police confiscated several guns from the child. The man the child was with is also charged with murder.
And we've learned this morning the man accused of killing three people and injuring six others in New Mexico used three weapons during that shooting spree. In a video late last night, the police chief of Farmington said the 18-year-old used an AR-style rifle and two other guns to randomly fire at homes and cars in a neighborhood yesterday morning. Police shot and killed the gunman. Two of those who were hurt in the attack were police officers. Both are expected to survive.
a devastating day for our community in so many ways. I want to thank the officers and their families who responded and confronted this threat. And I send out my deepest condolences, and I know the whole community does, to the victims.
Police have not identified a motive. Again, they say the gunman seemed to be firing at random. A press conference is planned for later today.
The Granville County Courthouse is closing early today. Don't be alarmed when you hear why. It's because of an active shooter training exercise. The Courthouse Security Committee says it is happening at 4 p.m. If you're in that area, this is what's going on. The training will be held alongside Granville County officials and local law enforcement.
Durham City employees could see pay raises with year-end bonuses in July. City Manager Wanda Page unveiled the city's proposed 2023-24 budget last night, and in it, she suggests general employees would be eligible to receive between 6 and 8% salary increases. Firefighters and police officers would get a 7% raise. Public hearings on the budget will be announced soon, and final approval is set for June 20th. You can read more specifics on the budget on our website. That's WREL.com. And new this morning, Wells Fargo will dish out $1 billion to settle a class action lawsuit. That lawsuit accused the bank of misleading shareholders about how much progress it made in recovering from a series of scandals over its treatment of customers. Shareholders say Wells Fargo overstated how well it was complying with federal orders to improve oversight. The bank has denied any wrongdoing and says it settled to avoid the expense of a trial.
I know you've noticed this expense, and it's becoming more common to be asked for a tip at digital or even self-checkout. This is tipflation for sure. It's a practice that has many frustrated, especially when your entire experience is with a digital machine and no human interaction. Here are a few things to keep in mind if you are feeling that pressure to tip. Experts suggest calculating your tip based on the pre-tax total. You can always enter a custom amount if you think that's appropriate, whether it's 15% or more. You can always just say no and not be guilted into it. Many self-service providers say the tips are split between employees, even though there were no people interacting.
One of the world's biggest film festivals kicks off today with some serious star power. The Cannes Film Festival in France will begin with a screening of a period piece about Louis XV, starring Johnny Depp. It'll be Depp's first film since his trial last year with Amber Heard, his ex-wife. Some of the other movies in the lineup include the new Indiana Jones film and Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon. The Cannes Film Festival will run through May 27th.
Well, if you missed it in theaters, Avatar: The Way of Water is coming to streaming services. Douglas Hyde shows us where in today's Hollywood Minute.
Dad, I know you think I'm crazy. But I feel her.
Avatar: The Way of Water is set to make a splash on not one, but two streamers. Director James Cameron's Oscar-winning blockbuster will debut June 7th on both Disney Plus and HBO Max, which is changing its name to just Max later this month.
Just for the next hour, we're going to feel good together, and then we can head back out there and be the mass extinction event that we are.
Hannah Gadsby is back with a new Netflix special that finds the award-winning Australian comedian in a more upbeat, feel-good mood, and wanting to spread that joy after a few tough years for the world.
So it felt like a nice thing to put out in the world in a post-pandemic situation. I really wanted to make sure people felt comfortable and, you know, like they feel better than when they arrived, and that's very much the what informed the show.
Yellow is for yellow, green is for red, red is for green.
I don't think so.
Try it then.
Hello!
Guardians of the Galaxy may be over, but David Bautista has more action and comedy in his future. He just signed on to The Killer's Game, about an assassin who orders a hit on himself after he's diagnosed with a life-threatening illness. But it turns out he was misdiagnosed and then has to fight the assassins out to get him. In Hollywood, I'm Douglas Hyde.
Oh, man, that's going to be fun. Well, the Antiques Roadshow returns to Raleigh today for the first time in 13 years. My mom's singing somewhere. She's so excited. You're looking at video from last time the show stopped here. That was back in 2010. The PBS production will stop at the North Carolina Museum of Art. Admission to the Roadshow is free, but tickets are required. This will air in 2024, marking the show's 28th season. It's popular.
She'll have to come visit.
I know.
Get tickets. Martha Stewart is making history and breaking the internet this morning. The 81-year-old is now the oldest to grace the cover of Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Stewart posted on social media Monday, writing that she is thrilled to be on the cover. She went on to say that she hopes this inspires people to challenge themselves to try new things. The magazine hits store shelves this Friday.
That is just unbelievable.
81.
Unbelievable. 81. Yeah. I mean, listen, the Sports Illustrated magazine had like Megan Fox and all these other stars that you know are just going to be these gorgeous, you know, things. Martha Stewart is amazingly gorgeous at 81 years old. Insane.
You go, girl.
It. You go, girl.
I'm just hoping to be on this side of the dirt at 81.
I know, right?
I'll be happy.
She's in Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, we'll get another look at traffic and weather. That's coming up next.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good Tuesday morning. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey with your top stories. All dry for now, but later on we could see that rain move in. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner following the WRAL weather alert day for us.
Yeah, we have a level 1 and 2 risk for severe storms for today. The best chance of tornadoes is going to be in the yellow shaded area north and west of the triangle area, where we could see a few isolated tornadoes. Everybody's got the potential to see some damaging wind starting this afternoon. We have some scattered showers out there right now from Sanford back over to through the Sandhills and a little bit of that up the I-95 corridor around Rocky Mount and Wilson. We've seen some light patchy rain. We'll zoom in here and you can see from Robbins to Carthage to Bass. The rain is actually coming down pretty steadily right here in Pinehurst, and it is not bothering these, what, two or three golfers that are out there, but you can definitely see the sidewalk is wet. So your fitness forecast, we're going to see a break in the precipitation right around lunchtime, and the models are pushing the start time of the thunderstorms out a little bit later. It looks like it could be this evening. Brian?
It is 8:27 right now. We have a lot of crashes showing up here on the map as we take a look at the ones having the biggest impact on your commute this morning. Edwards Mill Road at Wade Avenue. Look out for some delays in Edwards Mill approaching that interchange. And, of course, the usual heavy backups on outbound Wade Avenue this morning. A couple of crashes reported on Glenwood Avenue on that outbound side, one around Lynn Road, another at Country Trail. Seeing some pretty heavy delays heading away from Durley Road out toward the airport. In South Durham, an earlier crash on 55 around the I-40 interchange and on 40 westbound around the 15501 interchange.
All right, thank you, Brian. Today, Republicans could override a veto from Governor Cooper and ban most abortions across North Carolina after 12 weeks. You're looking live at the General Assembly, where GOP lawmakers will need every member of their party to pass the override. Coming up next on Fox 50, a big reveal for the Carolina Hurricanes on their road to the Stanley Cup.
It is a WRAL weather alert day with a level 1 and 2 risk for storms across the area. Brand new run of the computer models shows the storms arriving a little later. I'll show you that coming up.
We'll never understand how someone, what they're thinking to take someone's life like that.
Well, how could you? Plus, a mother and father speak only on WRAL as a grand jury indicts a downtown Raleigh store owner accused of stabbing their son to death.
And tickets are on sale right now for the Carolina Hurricanes. They are playing against the Florida Panthers in the Eastern Conference Finals. Coming up, we're going to tell you more about that schedule.
8:30 is the time right now on your Tuesday morning. Can't wait for that game one. First two games on home ice at PNC. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Nia is going to have that for us coming up. But first, we got to talk about the weather because it's all quiet here in Raleigh. We are starting to see a couple showers down south. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner following our WRAL weather alert day here, Elizabeth.
And we have a level 2 risk for severe storms from the Triangle area northward and westward, and a level 1 risk everywhere else. Damaging wind would be our biggest threat that could knock down some some trees this evening. Isolated tornadoes are possible from the Triangle area north and west in that area shaded in yellow. A little bit of light patchy rain out there. Some of that along the I-95 corridor from Wilson up toward Roanoke Rapids. But most of it is situated right down here in the Sandhills, especially Moore County and Lee County. That's going to continue to drift southward. So down in Fayetteville, your turn is coming next. And we'll zoom in and you can see that rain from Carthage to Southern Pines starting to move down into Hope County, kind of cruising past Sanford, the western part of Harnett County. You're going to see some of this too. We take a look at Futurecast, and Futurecast is looking pretty quiet up until later on today. We're going to have a few holes in the clouds this afternoon. Notice at around 3 o'clock, there may be a few cells that begin to pop up. There's 5 o'clock, still looking fairly quiet with a few storms up near the Virginia line. And then the timing of the actual line of thunderstorms ahead of the front is considerably later with this new run of the computer models. Notice that that line of storms starts to form up closer to 9 p.m. It's moving through the Triangle area by 10 or 11 and then out of the viewing area around midnight or maybe 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. After that, we clear out for Wednesday. But again, that's several hours later than the previous run. Some of the other model runs are showing that later time of arrival as well. So it's looking like that's most likely what's going to happen. These guys are cracking me up. The rain is coming down right here in Pinehurst, and these guys are out there on the putting green like nothing's happening. You can see that it's wet right there in front of the clubhouse. 66 degrees right now, our wind coming out of the southwest, which will warm us up nicely. We'll climb into the mid-80s. We should see a break from most of the precipitation around the middle of the day, and then this evening that line of storms will come through, and we'll walk through that timeline for you and the risks again coming up.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. The future of abortion rights in North Carolina is on the line today. State lawmakers will vote in just a few hours on overriding a veto from Governor Cooper, allowing new restrictions to take effect. WREL's Laura Levine joins us from the legislative building with the fast-moving developments in this case. It was just 3 days ago when hundreds of people came out to the General Assembly building here to rally as Governor Cooper officially vetoed the latest abortion bill. Now today, lawmakers will vote to override that veto. Now, Republican leaders in the legislature believe they have enough votes to override Governor Cooper's veto of the 12-week abortion ban. Republicans maintain a narrow veto-proof majority in both chambers of the General Assembly. If one Republican, neither chamber, votes to support the veto, Senate Bill 20 fails to become law. Not only would the bill reduce the cutoff for many abortions from 20 weeks to 12, it would also add other restrictions to women seeking abortions and clinics seeking to provide them. Cooper spent the last week traveling across the state meeting with doctors and clinic operators in an effort to sway Republicans to vote against the bill. Now, the Senate is scheduled to vote first on the override today. If the motion passes that chamber, the House would vote soon after. Laura Levine, WREL News in Raleigh.
This story got a lot of attention, and the owner of Taz's convenience store in downtown Raleigh has now been indicted on a charge of second-degree murder. The victim's parents are talking only on WREL. Tazir Zarka is accused of stabbing and killing 27-year-old Mark Garrity. Witnesses say Zarka attacked Garrity after accusing him of stealing from his store. Garrity's parents say their son didn't deserve to die.
Nothing mattered in that store to senselessly, brutally kill a 27-year-old, brutally kill a human. Like, you don't take the law in your own hands.
Zarka faces a maximum sentence of life in prison. The Garrities say they are working on a foundation in their son's name.
Public school teachers in North Carolina could be getting more pay as soon as this year. The budget proposal approved by Senate lawmakers last night includes a 4.5% raise for most teachers over the next 2 years. State employee pay is a major topic of budget negotiations. For a detailed look at the nearly $30 billion budget proposal, go to WREL.com.
We now know when the Carolina Hurricanes will face off with the Florida Panthers in game one of the Eastern Conference Final. It'll happen on home ice for the first two games. WRL's Naya Harden joins us live from PNC Arena with a look at the schedule and information on tickets. Naya, good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. Yeah, the first game is going to be on Thursday, and that is already selling. And I can tell you this morning, I did check. There are some tickets still available, just under $150, but you're going to want to grab those quick. Take a look at the schedule that they put out. This showing you the best of seven series here. Now, there are four scheduled home games against the Florida Panthers. This will be the first time the two teams meet in the playoffs, and Canes are favored to win. The Panthers coach also, Paul Maurice, he coached the Canes back in the 90s. So this is going to be the first time that he'll be coming back around. So this should be quite interesting. Canes have played hard in the last round without three key players. They have not been to the Eastern Conference since 2019. Now they're still going to need about eight more wins to get to the Stanley Cup, but the team is ready for the challenge.
Obviously, you get down to the Final Four. The teams that are here are playing the best, and we're going to have to be ready for a big push from them. And we got a few days here to get prepared and know what they're going to be doing and how we can be best prepared to beat them.
That first game, again, is Thursday at 8 o'clock in the evening. Make sure to get your tickets now. Nye Harden, WRAL News in Raleigh.
We are just hours away from a high-stakes discussion on raising the national debt ceiling. President Joe Biden and top congressional leaders will gather on Capitol Hill, where you are looking live this morning. It comes as Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen reaffirms that the U.S. could default on its debt as early as June 1st if leaders do not reach a deal. The government not being able to pay its obligations would impact businesses, mortgages, job cuts, and much more. The president says he's hopeful he can find a solution with Republicans to raise the debt ceiling. Republicans want steep cuts to social programs in exchange.
All lanes of Six Forks Road are open once again this morning after a lengthy gas line repair that caused traffic backups. WRL Sky 5 flew over that scene between Lynn Road and Newton Road. Officials say workers were installing a fiber optic network cable when they hit a gas line just after 2 yesterday afternoon. All lanes were closed for several hours. Two lanes remained closed until about midnight.
Downtown Raleigh's social district may be growing to allow outdoor drinking in more places. City Council will get an update on the Sip and Stroll district today and will consider expanding it beyond its current boundaries. The proposed new map would include more of the city's warehouse district. That includes the areas around Union Station and Morgan Street Food Hall. Officials say this is a suggestion from the Downtown Raleigh Alliance and from public feedback.
A warning from experts after a deadly crash involving an ATV.
That's a big no-no for riding ATVs.
Yeah, taking them on public roads. Just ahead, the golden rules you need to know to prevent a tragedy like the one that happened in Raleigh this weekend. Plus,
terrifying new video shows the moments a man attacks a congressman's staff with a baseball bat, as we hear from the congressman himself about the violence.
And we're tracking the WRAL weather alert day that has been issued for today. This is a live look at Zebulon right now. Elizabeth Gardner will show us the timeline for the chance of storms next.
Welcome back on your Tuesday morning. A cloudy, windy look at Clinton this morning. You can see that flag there just waving in the breeze. They are not seeing any rain yet, but it is on the way. It's on the way for pretty much all of us. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has been busy this morning tracking this weather alert day.
And we will see a line of thunderstorms that crosses the whole viewing area. So we are looking at an upgraded chance. From this time yesterday, we just had a level one risk here, but now it's a level two risk. That was changed yesterday. And then a level one risk for the remainder of the viewing area. Where we have the level two risk highlighted in yellow is where we'd have a better chance of one or two isolated tornadoes. The rest of us looking at the potential just for some damaging wind, but some of those winds could knock down a tree or two. The timeline of this continues to slow down a little bit. The latest run of the computer models brings that line of thunderstorms in between, say, 9 and midnight, but some scattered storms pop out ahead of it. So we've moved it to 5 to midnight in terms of when we could see those storms across our viewing area. The greatest threat is going to be straight line winds, wind damage, trees down, and then again, isolated tornado threat for us, especially north and west of the triangle. Currently, we have some stray showers. We're seeing those in a couple of places over there, just north and east of Wilson, and then back here across parts of the Sand Hills from Sanford back down toward Pinehurst and Rayford. And that's likely to slide on toward Fayetteville here in the next little while. We continue to have the potential for some isolated showers up until around lunchtime or so. At lunchtime, we may end up seeing a few breaks in the clouds. And then by 3 or 4 o'clock, there could be a few isolated storms that begin to pop up. But we don't really see the line of thunderstorms developing until a bit later. There's 7 o'clock, and you can see that up in Virginia. By 9 o'clock, we're seeing it from South Hill to Roxburgh to Durham. And then by 10:30, you can see it from Roanoke Rapids to Rocky Mount to Raleigh to Southern Pines. And then it slides into our eastern counties around midnight and then continues to move on out. And after that, that would be the end of the severe weather threat. So 60 mile per hour winds or stronger, those straight line winds are going to be our biggest threat. Some hail is possible. We could see a half an inch to an inch of rain and a few isolated tornadoes, mainly in the north and west. We continue to see really wet conditions here right now in Pinehurst, and no one seems to care. They're just out there putting and putting. 66 degrees is our current temperature in the triangle. And with a southwesterly wind, temperatures will warm up, even though it's going to be gray with a few scattered showers this morning. We should climb to 84 in Raleigh, 83 in Durham, and 86 in Fayetteville this afternoon. It is going to be on the muggy side at 66 for our dew point, but it'll feel very comfortable for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Those days look absolutely gorgeous. After that, we have a front that'll come through over the weekend. And because it's still a number of days out, the computer models are varying a little bit on the timeline for that. It could be late Saturday into Saturday night, or it could be Saturday night into Sunday. Hopefully in the next day or two, the models will converge on that thinking, and we'll be able to outline that for you. But in the meantime, just remember, we're tracking another front for the weekend.
Well, following some breaking news here in the WRAL Live Center, I want to take you to these live pictures courtesy of Sky 5. This is over the Falls Creek apartment complex. This is off Capitol Boulevard. You can see a heavy emergency first responders there. They've got security tape surrounding that area. You can see firefighters there. The ambulance is there. We're working to find out exactly what happened, but we know this is going on right now at the Falls Creek apartments just off Capitol Boulevard. As soon as we get anything confirmed, we'll be reported in our next hour here on Fox 50.
All right, thank you, Ken. A memorial is growing on Poole Road for two men who died in an ATV crash there on Sunday night. More than 30 family and friends of men gathered at the site, which is now covered with candles and balloons. The cousins, Kevin Epps and Jaya Jackson, were not wearing helmets when they crashed into a car as it was making a turn. WRL spoke with John Villegas of the ATV Safety Institute, who said it's important to follow safety rules when riding the vehicles.
Two of them that they broke was one, not wearing a helmet, and the second one is operating an ATV on public roads.
Investigators say Epps drove the ATV into the car driven by 24-year-old Taylor Williams. Williams was cited for failing to stop at a stop sign and two counts of misdemeanor death by motor vehicle.
A third person is now facing charges connected to the killing of a man in Garner. Jonte Bell of Anger was charged yesterday with accessory to murder after the fact. This comes after the shooting death of Antoine Chisholm at a home on Kentucky Drive in Garner on May 8th. Chisholm's fiance, Petit Bell, along with Howard Covington Jr., are facing murder charges. Chisholm's mother says her son and Bell got engaged 2 days before he was killed. Chisholm left behind six children.
New this morning, at least six people are dead after a fire at a hostel in New Zealand. The fire broke out in the capital city of Wellington early this morning, New Zealand time. Firefighters were able to evacuate 52 people. They're still trying to account for dozens of others. Authorities believe about 100 people were inside the four-story building when it caught fire.
New video this morning is showing the moments police say a man attacked staff at a Democratic congressman's office. That is horrific. Investigators say that man, Juan Ca Tran Pham, later went inside Congressman Jerry Connolly's office in Virginia yesterday and attacked others with that metal baseball bat. They say the man also used the bat to damage computers and shatter glass inside the office. Connolly says both of the staffers who were attacked have been released from the hospital.
And one of the staffers who was injured She's an intern, and today was her first day. So imagine your first day in the office and comes in with a baseball bat and beats you.
Connolly says he doesn't know the attacker, but says Pham contacted his office in the past and has a history of mental illness.
A new report alleges the FBI should not have launched a full probe into the connection between Russia and Donald Trump's 2016 campaign. Special counsel John Durham's 300-plus page report was released yesterday. Durham was appointed during the Trump administration. The report finds the FBI used, quote, raw, unanalyzed, and uncorroborated intelligence to launch the probe. It also claims the FBI used a different standard for concerns about Trump with those about Hillary Clinton. And the founder of the company behind the AI technology ChatGPT will testify in front of Congress today. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman will answer questions during a congressional hearing later today. Lawmakers and a Senate Judiciary subcommittee will ask him about the risks and benefits of artificial intelligence. Policymakers are working to put more regulations on AI as fears about its potential misuse grow.
And Michelle, as government leaders debate the potential risks of artificial insurance and what it could have on our lives, a number of companies are putting the software to the test and showing how it can create incredible things. Jackie Ibanez takes a closer look.
While artificial intelligence has its fair share of critics who fear the technology will replace human jobs and spread misinformation, Swedish engineering company Sandvik wanted to show how AI can be used for good and enhance creativity. Their mission? To make a new statue modeled after the works of some of history's most influential artists.
How do you combine them into one piece of art that's actually manufacturable?
So computer scientists got busy, training numerous AI programs to be familiar with the style of five sculptors: Michelangelo, Auguste Rodin, Katie Kollwitz, Takamura Kitaro, and Augusta Savage.
It was important that those models understood not only the artists, but also the context in which they created art, so different eras in time and that sort of thing. Once we were able to create images that really embodied the spirit of these artists, we also had new models that created 3D models that understood how the human body was posed and shaped.
Once AI made the blueprint for their sculpture, engineers at Sandvik used more than 20 different tools to carve it out of stainless steel. The result is what they're calling the impossible statue. It stands nearly 5 feet tall and weighs over 1,100 pounds.
That was Jackie Ibanez reporting. Art created using AI is also at the center of several pending lawsuits. The focus is on if those works can be considered copyright material. Who owns them?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, there's a growing effort to get solar panels onto more homes here in North Carolina. Dozens of people gathered for an event at High Wire Brewing in Durham yesterday to learn more about solar energy. Local cities, towns, and counties are coming together to try to make the technology more affordable. They're trying to crowdsource rooftop solar systems. In other words, the more people who sign up, the lower cost per person.
Energy costs go up. There are a lot of people that don't want to use fossil fuel for very good reasons, climate change.
A solar system for a home can start at about $22,000, so it's not cheap. The Coalition of Communities says about 1,600 people have signed up to learn more about switching to solar. And the high cost of electric vehicles keeps a lot of people away. But this week, Five on Your Side is road testing different EVs to different destinations across the state, looking at the reality of driving electric. Tonight at 6, the effort to bring down those high costs and how a new EV on the lower end of the price scale does on a road trip to Charlotte.
Granville County Sheriff is getting creative to address staffing shortages in his office. Sheriff Robert Fountain says he is hiring new employees with little experience. He's implemented a field training officer program where he pairs investigators with younger staff members. Meanwhile, county leaders are considering a budget that could lead to higher pay for deputies. County manager has recommended a nearly $7,000 pay increase. The NFL is taking a big step into the streaming industry. For the first time ever, the Saturday night game on Wild Card Weekend will be exclusively on Peacock. The NFL and NBC Universal made the announcement last night. That playoff game is scheduled for January 13th. Before we head to break, We have a look at your winning lottery numbers right now. We'll get another check on weather and traffic up next.